You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's the weekend. Time for rest, relaxation, and another edition of New Wisco Weekend. A weekly look at issues, arts, entertainment, culture, and everything that makes New Wisco home. Now, here's your host, Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief, Lisa Hale.
We're on the verge of World Mental Health Day on October 10th. Why is mental health such an important part of your overall well-being, and how do you protect it? Lead correspondent Terry Barr has information in our cover story. Amanda Nimmer has suggestions on how to get out of a mental funk. We have stories on the sweet lair in Green Bay, how to avoid phishing scams, and October is the start of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Pete Schwabe has the classic cinema pick of the week, and later how one woman is sharing her message around mental health through song. First, we'll open up this issue with a story about a special children and teen center coming to New Wisco. Construction on South Ashland Avenue in Ashwaubenon is getting some attention. The Bell & Health Children and Adolescent Center will be a two-story, 75,000-square-foot building that will house Bell & pediatric primary care and psychiatric services. Jamie Hagenow is the pediatric services team lead for Bell & Health. She said the center, which is expected to open in the late summer of 2025, will help cut down on the travel to find quality pediatric services in the area.
So this will actually be a one-stop shop. So kids can see their pediatrician, they can see their mental health therapist, they can get therapy, they can see Children's Wisconsin, all in one single building in one location. So it's going to decrease the amount of travel that half of these families have to do every single day.
Pediatric physician Dr. Sherry Hoyman said having all medical services available for children in one location will allow doctors and therapists to work together more to benefit the patient. She adds that she's excited about the addition of mental health services and the features of the Children and Adolescent Center that are designed to reduce stress on the patients and their families.
We all know mental health is a big problem at every age, and so we're really going to ramp that up, and there's so many special features that are going to be fun and really decrease the stress for families and children. There are some really tough things that kids have to go through, and we have to do those things, but we can make them better for them and, you know, walk them through that in a much easier way.
Hoyman says the center will be staffed with current pediatric providers in the Green Bay area, and new providers will also be brought in. EOS imaging at the new Children and Adolescent Center will cut x-ray time for scoliosis patients dramatically, says Hagenow.
So any of our kiddos who have scoliosis today, if they go into any healthcare system in northeastern Wisconsin, they end up getting several different x-rays, and you have to piece each x-ray together. So a child might get exposed to radiation 4 to 5 different times in one simple x-ray. And it's a 45-minute to a half an hour that it takes to take all these different x-rays. And as we know, that more radiation that is also exposed to the reproductive organs could cause issues in the future. So an EOS machine literally decreases the radiation by 70%, and it will make a 3D modeling of the spine within 2 minutes. So we can get kids in and out and get back to their life, back to school, back to our communities faster, and it decreases the radiations.
The Children and Adolescent Center will be one of only 3 centers in Wisconsin with EOS imaging capabilities. Hagenow says that the center will see children from as far north as the Upper Peninsula of Michigan all the way to Winnebago County. Services and features of the new Children and Adolescent Center will include EOS imaging, which provides safer, lower radiation 3D screening for conditions including scoliosis, pediatric and adolescent primary care, mental health services, physical, occupational, and speech therapy, a sensory gym and a life skills lab, an accessible outdoor playground, a lab, of course, and x-ray. Construction on the Bellin Health Children and Adolescent Center began in February. Hagenau says the building is up, all the studs and interior layouts have been done, and the building will open to the public in August of 2025. The Bellin Health Children and Adolescent Center will operate through a partnership between Bellin Health, Children's Wisconsin, and Theta Care. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. Games, conversation, connectivity, all can be found in one New Wisco business. Conrad Krieger joins us on New Wisco Weekend with a look at the sweet lair.
Board games to foster conversation, savory and sweet treats to tempt the taste buds, and alcohol-free drinks from coffee to smoothies to share with friends. The sweet lair is the place to gather for connection and play. Bree Lutz, owner of the Sweet Lair LLC, never had any formal training in bakery, but rather learned everything she needed to know from her grandmother. She then took that wisdom and turned it into a business. Starting a business, you need to find financing and a way to open to the public.
It's been going really well. We opened 2 years ago, which was just on the cusp of COVID, so I think it was a perfect time for us. But I did, I met with different advisors, like I used SCORE, I've used WIBIC, I've used different programs that are out there to really help me out. There's a lot of things that I didn't know that I feel like I probably should have known before I started, but there's things that you don't know that's going to happen until you get into it. So
how about the financing? Was Menasha there for you, or how did you finance your business? And even if it's a small business, you still need startup, right? Capital. You got to buy the games. You got to pay staff.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually used a small business loan through our bank. We were able to get approved, which was fantastic. We did get the Main Street Bounce Back grant.
That's a good grant.
So that was also helpful as well. And that really helped us kind of move forward.
Lutz encourages guests to get off their phone and truly get to know the person in front of them and enjoy the community around you.
We are a board game cafe, and I just saw the importance of people playing and getting to know each other. And there's so many out there, and everybody wants to play them. You want to own them. It's like a collection thing now.
Lutz shares what the clientele is like at her cafe and what you can expect when you go to play some board games and get good food.
Yeah, I think we have a good mix of people. We have people who want to just play the games that they're familiar with. We have people who are looking for something new to play. And then we do like a board game league in which people get to play a whole bunch of different new games that we're introducing.
The Sweet Lair has a unique menu that incorporates board games as a continued theme.
A lot of our menu items are board game themes. We have things like the Hungriest Hippo, which is a bagel sandwich where we make the bagels in shop. The cookies that we were talking about are an ube is a purple sweet potato from the Philippines. It's really often used in desserts there. It has like a vanilla nutty flavor to it.
The Sweet Lair has been alcohol-free since it started, and Lutz plans to keep it that way.
We actually have had some people ask us if we're going to bring alcohol, and then we've had other people who have been thankful that there's a space available that doesn't have alcohol. So we're going to keep this space, for sure, alcohol-free.
That was Bree Lutz, owner of the Sweet Lair LLC, who joined Mino and the mayor in the mornings on WISS and WGBW. The cafe hours are from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Tuesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, and 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday. Located at 204 Main Street, Menasha, Wisconsin, the Sweet Lair is closed on Monday. For more information, go to thesweetlaircafe.com. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
You're listening to New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
New Wisco Weekend commentator Amanda Nimmer has some helpful tips for us on how to keep our mental health on the upside.
It is okay not to be okay. Think about it. Really think about these words. It is okay not to be okay. Because a common stigma when you're feeling down in the dumps, you're out of spoons, you're stuck in the pit of despair, and you don't know how to get out is that you gotta clam up, shut up, don't talk about it. Bottle those feelings up because no one wants to hear it. Those are your problems. And that's wrong. Don't believe that. it is okay to not be okay. It is okay to feel the sadness, because without feeling it, you can't feel the good. In this time of year, it is more common to start feeling those blues. Some could even define it as seasonal. In fact, it is. It's called seasonal affective disorder. And I'm quite familiar with it because my fiance is from Florida, where they get so much more sunshine than Wisconsin. And without fail, when the days get darker, sad kicks in. But sad doesn't just affect Floridians or anyone from the South who's traveled north. People who've lived up here their entire lives can be affected by it. So how do we get out of it? What can we do to just take a break from the blues for a moment? Well, ask yourself one question. When was the last time you ate? And if your answer is, wait, when was the last time I ate? Then please, go get something to eat. Get something to drink. Treat yourself to what you love, because you deserve it. And don't forget to get out and move. Sometimes just sitting there, stagnant, it is so much easier to keep living in that pit. But if you get up, turn off the phone, turn off the TV, unplug, walk out the door, take a breath of fresh air, and just have that moment for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Go for a walk, get that sunlight. That's enough to push you toward the rope that can pull you out. Which, speaking of sunlight, that leads me to this one. As I mentioned, I have a Floridian fiance. Vitamin D, guys. Us Wisconsinites, we just don't get as much light. We have, like, what, 8 months of dark, 4 months of decent? I mean, of course, we go through the same solstice patterns as everyone else, but we just don't get as much light as they do down in Florida, which is why this time of year I am very familiar with pushing vitamin D. Go get the D. Not defense, not the other D. The vitamin D. Ultimately, what I'm saying is we are plants. You gotta give a plant water, you gotta give a plant food, and you gotta give the plant sunlight. All of that makes a healthy plant, and all of that will make a healthy brain. And if you find those things just aren't working, my go-to to get out of that funk and move away from the blues is to go ahead and turn on some type of comedy, whether it be a TV show, a movie, or something from your childhood that you love dearly. Turn it on, have some laughs, and just for a little bit, forget that you ever felt blue. Because ultimately, you gotta take a break. You can't take care of anyone else if you can't take care of yourself. So please, take care of yourself. And remember, it is okay to not be okay. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. And there you go. Take care of yourself.
When we come back, Terry Barr takes you inside our cover story. It's a deep dive into the idea of treating your mental health like your physical health. This is New Wisco Weekend. New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up later in the show, sharing a mental health message through music. First, Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
This week's film takes us to a small town in the Midwest. The movie is 1993's What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Most of the film was actually shot in Texas, but the setting is irrelevant, as you lose yourself in the characters all trying to find their way in this heartfelt drama. The film follows Johnny Depp's character, Gilbert, whose days are spent taking care of his mentally challenged brother, brilliantly played by a young Leonardo DiCaprio. He also takes care of the rest of his family, including his mother, who became morbidly obese after suffering from depression following her husband's suicide. The loss of the patriarch looms large for all the characters throughout the film. The cast is rounded out by Mary Steenburgen, who plays the wife of a local businessman who Gilbert is seeing in secret until he meets and tries to impress Becky, a free-spirited townie played perfectly by Juliette Lewis. Gilbert finds it hard to impress Becky, with Arnie constantly in tow.
Groceries. I got them, okay?
Okay. Oh,
okay. No, Arnie.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Really sorry.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
No, I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. Are you sorry? No, I'm not sorry. He's not sorry. We're not sorry. Don't be sorry.
I'm not sorry.
Likeable characters, which come across as very real and as genuine as the town itself, conveying feelings of melancholy. The town seems like it could exist anywhere, but somehow seems in the middle of nowhere. DiCaprio's performance as Arnie was so compelling, it got him an Oscar nomination, the film's sole nomination. Critics attribute DiCaprio's performance as the reason the film, which was critically acclaimed but flopped at the box office, was discovered later and became a hit on home video. What's Eating Gilbert Grape is a sweet slice of small-town Americana that is easy to lose yourself in, and it's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, hey, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
Cooler nights tend to lead people outside to do a little self-care with relaxation and the warmth of a bonfire. But this time of year, you have to be careful for a few reasons. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains why the breezy, crisp fall feel could spark a problem, and a few other things that could be crawling around creating an issue.
As the sun sets earlier and earlier, some people don't want to give up the pleasant weather. And bonfires warm us up inside and out. They can ease the mind and slip you into mental therapy, staring at the dancing flames and the bottom blue blaze. Or gathered around, hanging out with friends and family, laughing and making memories as the sparks fly high. Campers also tend to head out into the wilderness as well, using fire for food and warmth. But this is another time of year, just like spring, when the fire danger can crank up.
Smokey Bear is really a symbol of fire prevention for across our country. So going back decades now, he's really been the spokesperson for we as humans are the leading cause of wildfires in the country, and that, you know, it's a reminder of the consequences and what we need to do to prevent wildfires from happening.
That's Amy Penn with the Wisconsin DNR.
Yeah, people don't like you to mess with their burning.
But as the trees, plants, and grass begin to hibernate or die for the winter ahead, we've just placed a bunch of fire food on the floor. Mixed with increasing winds as the seasons shift, it's a recipe for wildfires.
So check before you burn is a big message.
In autumn, we get waves in the weather, a roller coaster, a battle of the seasons, if you will, which is why the winds get so strong. It's Earth trying to balance the temperatures, but as the poles freeze and the equator stays warm, we're stuck in the crossfire.
Maybe it's allowed, but is it a good idea if it's looking kind of windy?
And during these times, very dry Canadian air moves in, dropping dew points and humidity low. So low that it can evaporate rain. In these cases, it's an atmosphere ready to ignite.
Good to be aware of, you know, how dry is it? How crunchy is the grass? You know, make those decisions carefully.
Never let the fire get too big or the flames too high. Stay at least 20 feet away from homes, trees, bushes, or anything that can set fire.
anytime you're going to do a campfire, you want to do it safely. So you need to be watching your fire. You need to have the proper tools. Do you have a source of water? Do you have a shovel? So important to monitor your fire, and then also very important to make sure it's fully extinguished before walking away from it. Really critical, because sometimes, you know, a fire's not out until it's out. Doesn't mean that there aren't embers that could still, you know, loft on the air and ignite a wildfire.
And the drought conditions of the state are not taken into consideration.
The number one cause of wildfires in Wisconsin is burning debris. So people cleaning up their yards, they've got leaves and sticks and twigs, putting them in a pile and then igniting them. It's very different than how we look at a campfire. So to understand, you know, a campfire is a fire that's clean, dry firewood. The purpose of the fire is for warming or cooking. And that is different from burning debris or a debris pile, where the purpose is yard cleanup, things like leaves and twigs. And if you can picture what that would look like, there's a lot more concern with the burning debris, because some of those items are just more likely to loft into the air. You know, little pieces of leaves or little pieces of twigs, they can become firebrands and ignite things.
Which is why a burning permit is issued.
It may be allowed from like 6 p.m. to midnight. And the reason they do that, it's the safest time of day. That's usually when the winds calm down and the relative humidity increases again.
So, that shouldn't have put the fire out on any of your fall fun. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Did you know that a mammogram may not be enough? Civic Media's Melissa Kay reports.
Breast cancer is becoming an increasingly common diagnosis in women under the age of 40. Younger women have denser breast tissue. Cecilia Strode is an MD and breast surgeon at Aspirus.
Mammogram may not be enough, especially if they have other risk factors. And so what we add to that is screening MRI. And with a screening MRI, we can find very small tumors also in women who have dense breasts that would have otherwise gone unrecognized.
However, unless deemed medically necessary, screening MRIs are not completely covered by all insurance in the U.S. Lifestyle choices can reduce your chances of developing cancer.
The Mediterranean diet is kind of the recommended diet at this point. More physical activity and exercise is better, but even a little bit goes a long way.
Also, zero alcohol intake. I'm Melissa Kay.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story. First, did you know World Mental Health Day was created in October of 1992? More than 150 countries now consider it an opportunity to create awareness and education around mental health. We'll be back right after the news.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. For WISS and WGBW, I'm Lisa Hale, your host.
Here comes that rainy day feeling again.
World Mental Health Day is Thursday, so we're turning the page to our cover story with the question, how can you protect and improve your mental health? Here's New Wisco Weekend lead correspondent Terry Barr with more.
Lisa, I asked Jean McClellan. Now, Jean is with the Wisconsin-based National Alliance on Mental Illness. The organization actually started in our state with a few families gathering around a kitchen table in the late 1970s. Now, it's taken that long for many people to be able to talk about mental health. So when I asked Jean for some answers, she gets very real with her replies.
I think we all know that that's one of the most important things that we can do is ask and make sure people are okay and listen if they do want to talk. Having a good idea of what mental illness is, how to recognize somebody that might be in crisis, how to have some empathy for what they might be going through. We're trying to make sure that we're affecting policy change at all levels of government to ensure that we are doing everything possible to improve the lives of those people that are affected by mental illness. think there have been a lot of improvements. We still have a long ways to go, and that's a big part of our education and awareness is breaking down the stigmas, getting rid of the discrimination, because discrimination is a big part of that. It goes hand in hand with the stigma. Maybe some of this was ushered in with COVID. People began to pay more attention to themselves because we were by ourselves more. You know, I'm kind of feeling sad right now, and I don't have my coworkers to kind of bring me up. Through the pandemic, what we've learned is that we're finding ways to normalize speaking about mental illness or mental health issues. We need to. We found out that part of our interaction with others was helping our mental health, and we didn't even realize it. One of the things that we really like to do in the schools and with younger people is giving them the language to use to express themselves, and doing it in an environment where they're all hearing the same thing. It becomes safe. It's like, okay, well, this is the accepted pattern of speech. So it's okay if I say, you know, I'm feeling like I'm a little bit anxious today, and I'm worried about this, and I'm having a hard time calming myself down. It's okay to say that to a teacher or to a friend. And hopefully the friend will listen and say, well, what kinds of things help you to calm down? Have you tried box breathing? Have you tried taking a little walk? Have you tried, you know, some yoga stretches? Whatever the case may be. I think it's really important to always talk about our mental health, because that just shows that we care about each other. It's possible that somebody that you're talking to has gone through something similar, and maybe they can help you find ways to get through it as well. I don't think that if you shared with somebody, you know, I'm feeling some anxiety right now, and it's making me to the point where I'm going into analysis paralysis kind of thing. You're more likely to encounter somebody that says, yeah, tell me about it. Actually, tell me about it. I think I can relate. We need to check on each other, and it's okay to ask if somebody is okay. I know when we talk about suicide prevention, people always say, well, I don't want to mention it because I don't want to plant the seed of that idea. You're showing someone that you care enough about them to inquire about their mental health. We do it for physical health matters. Let's do it for mental health matters as well. So making sure that the conversations are not invasive, and the good intentions are there. You're showing that you care, and you're letting them know that I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm acknowledging that you are feeling this way, and I am here for you for whatever you need.
And again, Lisa, that's Jean McClellan with the National Alliance of Mental Health. So much great advice from her.
Terry, did she offer any simple ideas you can use to check in with yourself every day?
Yeah, she says if you can, start the day maybe quietly with a cup of coffee. But here's the one I really like. At the end of the day, think about the things you're grateful for. Write it down and put it in a jar. And then when you're having a bad day, go back and look at all those things that were so great. I think it's a wonderful idea, Lisa.
Thank you so much, Terry. And you heard Jean mention doing things that are good for your mind and body. Experts suggest regular exercise, along with taking care of yourself by eating well and trying to stick with the sleep schedule. If you or your loved one has signs of a serious mood disorder or mental health emergency, don't wait. Reach out to a professional right away. You can also call or text the Crisis Lifeline. That number is 988. Someone is there to help 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
The sun just left its snow below my door, and I can't hide beneath my sheets.
You're listening to New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
One way to maintain positive mental health is to avoid stressful situations. And one of the most stressful situations in the modern world are all the scammers that are coming at us constantly through emails, through social media, through our telephones, even through the mail sometimes. Joanne Krulatz has a story on phishing scams.
Scammers love phishing schemes, but they aren't just limited to emails. As more real businesses use text messages to communicate with their customers, con artists are sending out their own texts, posing as organizations you know and can trust. If you receive an unusual text message, the following tips can help you decide whether it is a fake before scammers can get their hands on your personal information. Don't trust unsolicited messages. Scammers would try to get you to click a link or call a number in a text message claiming you've won a great prize, your subscription account is about to be deactivated, or there was a problem delivering a package to your home. They may even claim fraudulent activity has been detected on your account and tell you to act now. Before you get too worked up and respond, ask yourself, did I give this company permission to text me? Did I enter a contest recently? Am I expecting a package? Is it normal for this business to send me messages? If an out-of-the-blue offer sounds too good to be true, it probably is. If you receive an unsettling text message from a company you do business with, but they never text you in the past, look up their contact information on their official website and get in touch to find out what the message is really about. Watch out for suspicious links. Most scam text messages contain a link for you to click on. Scammers hope their message will cause you to feel so scared or excited you'll click the link without thinking. Know that a personalized message doesn't make the sender trustworthy. Thanks to data breaches and online directories, at least some of your personal information is probably online. Scammers may have access to your name, address, where you bank, your phone provider, and other details about your life. Look for spelling and grammar errors. A large number of fake texts originate with offshore companies where they may be crafted by someone who isn't completely fluent in the English language. Some scammers are highly skilled in English and it may even be their first language, so not every fake text you receive will follow this rule. If a website looks real, check again. If you do click on a link in a suspicious text message and it appears to take you to an official business website, don't feel safe straight away. Scammers can create a carbon copy of a legitimate website, and if you log on the fake site, they can steal your username and password. Look up phone numbers before you call. Scammers may prompt you to call a number claiming you need to resolve some kind of issue or register to receive a prize. They may do so under the guise of a real business, so always double-check any numbers they send you before you call. If you spot a scam, text, don't reply. Some scammers ask you to text stop or no, so you won't receive future text. In reality, your reply tells them they have a real active phone number and could open you up to future attacks. Keep your antivirus software up to date. Antivirus software can alert you to fake and unsafe websites if you happen to click on a link in an unsolicited text message. For more information or further inquiries, contact the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau at bbb.org/Wisconsin or call 1-800-273-1002. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Dr. My woman is coming back home late today. Could you maybe give me something?
Fitness enthusiasts and people who like to challenge themselves physically and mentally competed in a 24-hour fitness challenge called Endure Just Finish in July. Creator and organizer Tad Taggart, a Green Bay area dietitian and fitness coach, says reactions to the idea vary.
I get two reactions when I introduce this event. I get you're out of your mind or sign me up.
Taggart says he found nothing like this event anywhere in the area. It was a 24-hour event that had people competing in different fitness challenges, starting at 4 p.m. on Friday, July 19th, and it went to 4 p.m. Saturday, July 20th. The event was described as a 24-hour crucible designed to test your physical and mental fortitude. Inspired by the grueling physical training endured by members of the U.S. Special Forces, this event saw participants participants discovering their limits and pushing past them. The goal of the event is to just finish. Taggart says it's also a goal not to sleep during the event.
Usually the first response is you're out of your bleeping mind, right? And I tell people, like, even if you can't get through all of this, you can still join us, right? It's not an exclusive club, but if you really want to get out of this event, what it is meant to get out of this event, the goal is to stay through the whole thing.
Some of the physical and mental challenges that participants had to overcome during the challenge included rock climbing, boxing, self-defense, a 10K run, axe throwing, even an escape room. And that's only a sample of the tests of strength and will. Taggart says an escape room comes after 23 hours of exercise, so you really needed your brain to be functioning as well.
And they just have like hints and clues kind of hidden, right? There's puzzles to solve. You got to use different parts of your brain.
Taggart says with this event, he's trying to capture the feeling one gets when going through a crucible, such as training given to members of the military special forces.
It's designed to be tough, and I'd never claim for this to be a perfect replicate of special operations training. So let's make that clear that this is tough. This isn't going to be that kind of tough.
All the proceeds from Endure Just Finish benefited HUA Wisconsin. It's a veterans group whose mission is to eliminate suicide with a proactive approach to overall wellness of service members, veterans, and their support systems. Taggart says he's trying to capture a little of that military experience with the Endure Just Finish challenge.
A lot of these people, you know, when they join the Marines, they join the military and they go through some sort of crucible like this, they realize their true potential. And that's where you see the change, right? And as a personal trainer and dietitian, I see so many people with so much more potential. It's part of why I made this event. But the idea behind this event is getting people to do something that they never thought they could do. Honestly, even the people that want to do this, deep in their gut, they're thinking this is crazy. Embracing something that you don't think you can do and you do it anyways.
Taggart says ultimately he wants people who are all in and want to challenge themselves and people who are nervous about it to participate in these types of activities.
I want those people. I want people that are like, well, I'm not sure if I could do that 10K. Well, sign up. Just see what happens. This is not a race. You're not competing against your fellow teammates on this. You are together. That 10K, I don't care if you walk it, but we're all finishing together. We're all getting across that finish line together. And that's also a component of it, right? It's building that community and that teamwork.
Endure Just Finish is the brainchild of Tad Taggart, who works at the Western Racket and Fitness Club in Green Bay. This is New Wisco Weekend on WGBW and WISS, Civic Media Radio Stations. Coming up in just a moment, a mental health message in music.
Tell me why you had to go that night. There were still so many songs to write. I'll never know you forgot to say goodbye.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. There's a Wisconsin musician who believes the best way to communicate is through song. And when a friend died by suicide, Jackie Bradley turned her message about mental health into a full musical. Terry Barr has her story.
Through winter's darkness, you were sunlight. How you love December's chills. Spring came with the promise of new life. I could see your fading will. I hear your laugh and I see your smile. They will never ever die. But you forgot to say.
We are listening to the song, You Forgot to Say Goodbye, from the musical Comet Boy. And joining us is the creative mind behind all of it, Jackie Bradley. Jackie, thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Jackie, what is the story behind You Forgot to Say Goodbye?
To sum it up, say that after my dear friend took his life, I just pondered and pondered and pondered, and all that I could think of in those early days was he never said goodbye. The meaning behind all of those days before, and then I guess at the end of the song, I actually do sort of query about, you meant, maybe you didn't mean to say goodbye, and wondering if it was a situation where he went farther than he had planned to go. So that was the thing that always haunted me, that, or if someone had come in at the right time. But so yeah, that's where that song goes.
Your songs and the stories, it's really an open invitation to have a conversation about mental health. Was that kind of your goal in doing this?
It was. Well, in the respect that suicide is a mental health matter, I wanted to shine a light on the problem of suicide, maybe work on the taboos that are held, and exactly that, get conversations going about it, and hopefully the songs would reach people that either are going through it, have gone through it, or are thinking about going through it, and maybe give them some insight to the effects that it has, and hoping to find a way to reduce the numbers.
I am talking with Jackie Bradley, the creative mind behind the song and the musical Comet Boy. What did it mean for you to actually see this musical and the music as part of it happen?
It really was sort of an out-of-body experience. And I would often wonder when I would hear my songs about where my mind was when I wrote them, because I don't feel that I could write them just any old time. But once they were written and the whole play or the whole show went together, I really felt like a spectator. And it did bring back feelings, but it was just a very unusual feeling to be watching from the outside.
If there's something that you would say to people about this whole experience, what would you say, Jackie?
Oh, there's just so much to say. The show pretty much says it all, but I guess I would just say, keep your eyes and ears open for signs that someone you love or know, or even an acquaintance might be giving out that might indicate there's a problem, and try to find a way to approach it. Somehow bring in others. I guess that's the main thing I'd say. Another point is, it has such far-reaching effects, every suicide. And I think I do mention in the play that suicides are not an unkind thing that the person who takes their life does, because they reach a point that they have they just have nowhere else to go. And so they shouldn't be blamed in a bad way. But if they could understand maybe how many lives they're affecting and changing forever, I feel maybe, unless it's extreme mental illness, that would be something that would slow it down.
And there's help. And I think that's something finally people are talking more about, is it's okay to talk about this and it's okay to get help.
Right. And I think because in this case, the Comet Boy would not seek out help or even listen to a word about maybe medication would help you feel better. Mm. So I am really at a loss in some cases about what you could do. And when he finally did take his life, it was just, I wasn't really surprised, but it just wasn't expected at that moment, because he had been on a happy, happy high. So that adds another little bit of mystery to the whole thing.
We are going to end this conversation with the song, I Will Sing It. Tell me about this song, Jackie.
Writing of the show was a pretty long process, and I had a lot of songs from a previous record I had made, but I needed to add a lot of songs, and then I needed something to end the song, and I was on a walk on the bike trail where we used to take walks, and all of a sudden it just came into my head about walking down the path we used to walk. It all just kind of fell into place, and I wanted it to be an uplifting song of hope in the very end, and hopefully that does sort of tie the whole thing up at the end. Yes, it's one of my favorites.
Here is I Will Sing It from Jackie Bradley. And Jackie, thank you again.
When you went away, my world turned dark. Thought the sun would never shine again. Living here without you seemed impossible. It was so unthinkable, but then I heard the song you used to sing. Now I will sing it. I felt the joy you always brought. Now I will bring it. The power of our love.
If you'd like to see Jackie's play, it's free to view on YouTube. Search for Comet Boy the Musical. Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at the stories and issues facing Northeast Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features by Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Joanne Krulatz, Melissa Kay, and Pete Schwaba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. Email story ideas to lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. You can also contact us through our app. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.